This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. C3 Generative AI equips enterprises with verified, traceable answers. It's secure, hallucination-free, LLM agnostic, and IP liability-free. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.
This is your tech news briefing for Tuesday, February 23rd. I'm Amanda Llewellyn for The Wall Street Journal. We reported last week that IBM is exploring a sale of its Watson Health unit, a part of its business that's dedicated to applying artificial intelligence to healthcare. While IBM once envisioned Watson as a way to transform the industry, it hasn't really panned out that way. Coming up, our digital science editor, Daniela Hernandez, will join us to explain why not and what the story could mean for the many, many other players pursuing AI in health. That's after these headlines. We report that the co-founder and former CEO of WeWork, Adam Neumann, is in advanced talks to settle a high-profile legal fight with SoftBank. SoftBank took a majority stake in WeWork after its 2019 IPO attempt collapsed, and Neumann stepped down in the wake of the debacle. According to people familiar with these latest talks, SoftBank would spend about $1.5 billion to buy the shares of early WeWork investors and employees, including almost $500 million for Neumann's shares. That's about half of what was originally agreed to. The negotiations are still going on, and there's no guarantee that they'll come to a deal. But if Neumann and SoftBank are able to agree, it would clear the way for WeWork to make its second attempt at going public. We've reported in the past that a number of federal agencies have purchased cell phone data in order to aid in their various law enforcement and security missions, and that they've been doing so without obtaining warrants. Now, a new report from the IRS's Inspector General warns that in doing so, those agencies might not be standing on such firm legal ground. Here's our reporter Byron Tao with more.
In 2018, the Supreme Court, in a landmark decision, said that the police need to go get a warrant if they want the subscriber information from cell phones. So essentially, every time a phone connects to a cell tower, the cell tower and the cell carrier make an estimation of where the cell phone is in the world. And police had been obtaining that information from the cell phone companies. The Supreme Court said no under the U.S. Constitution. That's a search. You need to go get a warrant from a judge. And the IRS Inspector General report said, well, a similar logic could apply to this GPS data that's sourced not from the carriers, but from cell phone apps, from games, from weather, from rideshare apps that access a phone's GPS compass, from review sites. All manner of apps collect this data, and some of it ends up in the hands of data brokers and eventually law enforcement. And what this report said is that accessing that pool of data raises the same concerns that the Supreme Court addressed in 2018.
The IRS Inspector General report encouraged stricter controls on use of the data. The report is only a recommendation, and its findings are not backed by any court. But it's the first known government analysis to raise serious concerns about the legality of the practice. For their part, government lawyers have noted that users typically consent to have their data collected when they agree to apps' terms of service. And they pointed out that the information collected does not include personal identifiers like names or email addresses. And finally, have a listen to this. No, that buzzing you hear is not an air conditioner unit. It's the sound of NASA's Perseverance rover as it sits in the Jezero crater on Mars. And the muffled noise you hear behind it is coming from wind on the red planet. The audio, which NASA released yesterday, is the first ever audio recording from Mars. All right, coming up next, it seems like everyone is looking for ways to use artificial intelligence. In healthcare, that's harder than it sounds. We'll have more on why that is after the break.
This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. Insights. You need them to solve business problems, but buried in volumes of disparate data, they're seemingly invisible. C3 Generative AI enables business leaders to instantly access secure, hallucination-free, verifiable insights from a unified knowledge source, all with a natural language search. Turn the invisible into the obvious with C3 Generative AI. Learn more at c3.ai.
About a decade ago, IBM rolled out Watson, one of the earliest artificial intelligence systems out there. Watson was a big deal for IBM. You might remember that it even went on Jeopardy and absolutely crushed the human competition. It was a milestone in how we think about our relationship to computers. And IBM decided it wanted to take that technology and apply it to helping doctors diagnose and cure cancer. But things didn't exactly happen that way. And last week, we reported that IBM was exploring a sale of its Watson Health unit. So what happened? And what does this tell us about the challenges of applying AI to healthcare? For answers, we turn to our digital science editor, Daniela Hernandez. Hey, Daniela, thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
So where is Watson now and what happened?
Well, I mean, the struggles at IBM with Watson have, you know, been around for a little while. We reported in 2018 that the technology was really not getting the market share and adoption that it needed to make good on all the investments and all the acquisitions that IBM made in order to make Watson a leader in the AI in healthcare field. And so 3 years or so later, it signals that, you know, the technology maybe wasn't working as well as they would have hoped. I think more broadly, it points to the fact that, you know, just having data or collaborations with leading scientists around the country, that just isn't enough. And the reason is, you know, healthcare is complicated. So there's a lot of human issues at stake here. You know, people do things differently, like depending on which hospital you're at, depending on which doctor you're seeing. But also the data in healthcare is messy for some of those same reasons. You know, you might input something into a medical chart differently than me. And for an AI, like, might as well be two completely different things. And so just that standardization of the information is really critical, but also really hard. And so when IBM started making these huge investments in Watson, they started buying up all these companies that had a lot of seemingly great data. And the data might have been perfect, but those data were basically siloed from each other. They couldn't talk to each other. And they never quite figured out how to meld them together so that they were a cohesive data set, a cohesive product that really could make good on the promise that they saw, but that unfortunately has never materialized.
And of course, we should note here that IBM says that Watson has had some successes and that they're still believers in that technology. Daniela, we've been talking about IBM's new CEO, Arvind Krishna, on the show and following as he's been trying to kind of revitalize this legacy company. How does the sale of Watson Health fit into his efforts?
Well, I think one huge thing that has changed since, you know, the birth of Watson, if you will, is that you've had these other huge, not legacy players come into the field. So you've got Google, Facebook, Amazon, even Microsoft, right? Which you might consider a legacy company, but they've really rebranded themselves too. They weren't as big when Watson first came on the scene. And so now you've got this, again, storied legacy company competing with these new players who, when they started making investments in AI, were a lot more nimble. And so they made investments in what at the time seemed like really experimental AI technology. And now looking back, like DeepMind, Google invested, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars in that. That technology just basically took over the world. And IBM didn't really invest in that technology at the time. And now is behind because all the talent has been sucked into Google, Facebook, Amazon, Apple. And so they're behind.
Got it. And I want to talk more about that competition piece in a second. But first, I want to get sort of a lay of the land. This is a really big industry with a lot of inefficiencies that AI could potentially help with. So I imagine there's a lot going on. Where are we actually seeing AI used in healthcare beyond IBM's Watson Health?
Yeah. So, I mean, some of the places where AI has made some inroads are in radiology and pathology. And you can, these disciplines in medicine are really image driven. So if you look at where AI in general has made the most successes or has had the most successes, it's in image recognition, right? And so applying that to medicine seems like an obvious leap to make. And there, again, have been some successes here. You know, there's this idea that the computerized doctor or like a doctor augmented by AI is what we should be striving for. And I think that, you know, in the future, like that might, you know, be a real thing. But right now, it's the less sexy or exciting operations, like back office operations, like billing and charting, that add a lot of cost to our healthcare. And that it might be easier to automate. So some of that is starting, but my sources also said that there's great opportunity to make more investments in AI in that space.
And in terms of competition, who's leading the pack?
Man, that's a difficult question. I asked my sources that same thing. And, you know, there's the market's still kind of broken from what they told me. Like, there isn't one player that's huge, like Google, Microsoft, Amazon, they've all tried to go after it, but they're not dominant. The healthcare system, a lot of the data lives in these electronic medical records. So those companies, even though, you know, most people in Silicon Valley wouldn't think of them necessarily as like huge tech companies, the way they think about Google, Amazon, Apple, et cetera, they hold a lot of the information. And so some might say that if they figure out how to mine that information in a way that complies with privacy laws, et cetera, that they might be in a good position. But they didn't see anybody as being the market leader. And I think that's because of all the reasons we've talked about already. The data is sometimes hard to analyze. There's just a lot of roadblocks in terms of implementing AI in the clinic, which is where people want to see it most.
And finally, I want to ask, you know, we talked a lot about IBM's challenges with Watson. What's the takeaway? Is there a lesson to be learned for the companies working on this?
The thing that kept coming up in interviews in terms of the lesson to be learned is not to try to solve the most complex problems first. AI is going to slowly crawl into our healthcare system. IBM tried to rush in. And so I think if we learn anything from its experience is that trying to solve smaller problems first would be the more successful strategy.
All right. That's our digital science editor, Daniela Hernandez. Thanks, Daniela.
Thank you.
That's it for today's tech news briefing. You can find more tech stories on our website, WSJ.com. And if you like our show, please do rate and review us in your app store. It really does help. I'm Amanda Llewellyn for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. C3 Generative AI equips enterprises with verified, traceable answers. It's secure, hallucination-free, LLM agnostic, and IP liability-free. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.